Chapter number 3. Next Wednesday night, we're going to be starting a new book of the Bible, and I believe the Lord's leading me to the book of Haggai. And in the book of Haggai, the story that's there is different reasons why people stopped serving the Lord. And they were commissioned to build the temple, and it goes along a little bit with our theme. And Nehemiah, they're building the wall. And Haggai, they're supposed to be building the temple, different time period. We'll show you that. I think it's kind of neat how you'll see that they work hand in hand. And there's some different excuses why people stop serving. And that's a lot of the message of the book. The book of Haggai is a nice book, and I think you'll enjoy it. It will not take us that long. It's not that long of a book. But here, Ephesians chapter number 3 kind of gives us a little bit of a head start when it comes to the book, because the Apostle Paul here, he is speaking to the church of Ephesus, and he's concerned about something. He's worried that they're going to faint. He's worried that they're going to quit. He's worried that they're going to become saddened. He's afraid that they might lose heart. They had done well, and they had been serving the Lord. And in Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 13 through 21, Paul talks about a prayer. He prays a prayer here on their behalf. And then this prayer has some messages that will help us not to quit. Say, Pastor, there's a storm coming, and it's the month of February, and we're here. We're the ones that are not going to quit. Well, I'm glad. And this will help maybe reinforce some of these reasons why we shouldn't quit. Because I know that different times, different reasons, all of us can be weak. All of us can be frail. And sometimes we might ask why. And sometimes we might say, I don't know if it's worth it. But I want you to understand tonight, if we get some of these things nailed down and get some of these messages that are found in this prayer, I think we'll understand that it is worth it. And as we come up from the missions conference that we just had, and we had, I believe, a good mission conference. I really enjoyed it. Our faith promise commitment is up to over 39,000 already, and we're looking forward to getting some more in, hopefully this coming Sunday. There are faith promise cards back there. If you have not filled them out and you'd like to fill it out tonight and put it inside the offering envelope, inside the offering plates, I'll look after the church service. I meant to mention that earlier. So we're doing well when it comes to that. We look like we're going to hit our goal, and that's great. That's exciting. You know where that comes from? It comes from people who don't quit, people who see the need and say, I'm going to keep on doing what God's called me to do. And the Apostle Paul here in verse number 13 of Ephesians chapter number 3 says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, for which is your glory. Now, Paul is here, and he loves this church, and there we go back to the story when I talk about the Ephesus and the church that was built there. It's a fantastic story. We'll get it in Acts later on, but he has brought this gospel into this country that did not have the light, and he saw people saved. They saw a church built. This is where the Temple of Diana is at. This is where, remember, they sat around that inside that spot, and they were crying out how great the goddess Diana is, and how Paul, you know, had such victory there. When I talked about people who were messing around with the occult and magical things, they burned all those things, and just great revival in this land. And he is writing back to this church. This is a church that he birthed, helped birth in a sense. God used him to help start this church. He loves this church in chapter 1 and chapter number 2. And we don't have time to go through all that to establish these principles, but he comes to the spot in chapter number 3, and he says, I have a desire. He says, I want to make sure of something. I don't want you to faint. And then he begins to pray. And inside this prayer, there are some things he prays for them and some things he shows for them that just try to encourage them not to faint, not to give up. And I tell you, over and over in the Bible, we see this message given. You can use lots of different stories and lots of different principles than we've had before in the past. But think about some of these verses. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I tell you, as I get older, and I know I'm not as old as not many people in the room are younger than I am. And I tell you that as my body, as you hit 40 and you get a little bit older and a little bit older, your body starts wearing down. And that can be frustrating, can't it? I mean, you can't see like you see, and you can't hear like you want to hear. You can't do the things you, and then you start having things that happen to you, like strokes or, just other different things that slows you down even more and more. And you, body starts aching a little bit more. It starts becoming a challenge just to get out of bed and stand up straight and just get your body going. You know what? The great thing is that in your spiritual life, the Bible says that the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That you can be strengthening yourself day by day. And here, Paul, he's praying for these people. He loves these people. And let's look at this prayer. He says, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at," and I see this where it says, "at my tribulations." I mean, the Apostle Paul had been through a lot. You think about it. This was the group of people that was telling Paul, look, you can't go in there. They're going to kill you. If they see you, that mob will put you to death. And they sent him away. They loved Paul, and they saw him going through hardships, and they saw him going through trials, and they heard of the beatings. They heard of the shipwrecks. They've heard of all the different things that were happening. He says, look, I don't want you to get sorry for me. As we heard a missionary say more than once, Brother Godfrey says, don't feel sorry for your missionaries. We should pray for them. We should desire that God uses them and protects them and all those things, but don't feel sorry for them. And this is what he says. Where does that come from? Right here. He says, we don't want you to feel sorry for them. Don't use them as an excuse why you can give up. And sometimes people will take this and they'll take their eyes off of God and they'll look at somebody else's situation and say, I don't know how they go through that. And there's no way I could ever go through that. So I'm going to try to stop serving. And that's a bad spot to be in. And that's what Paul is saying here. Look, have your own relationship with the Lord. He understands this. This is for the furtherance of the gospel. Don't feel sorry for me. He says, I'm worried about you. Don't you be worried about my tribulations. I'm concerned for you. I don't want you to quit. Yes, I'm going through struggles and God's seeing me. God's using it for the furtherance of the gospel. God is using these times to open up different areas. You remember there are story, how God used trials and that it caused a great story that happened. Verse number 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. First thing I want you to see some of these messages in this prayer. First thing I want you to understand, it is an important message. It is an important message. You say, where do you see this here? Well, it says here in number 14, it says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we see that he's bowing his knees. He said, well, that's normal. When people come to the altar, they bow their knees. And he says, sometimes when we pray, we bow our knees. And I get that. And that's a sign of reverence. Back in Jewish customs, we see that they did not pray that way. Many times they would pray standing upright with their arms outstretched, with their hands and their palms open, and they would pray this way. This is how they would pray to God. And there's different ways that people prayed in the Bible. Sometimes it was on their knees, sometimes it was standing, sometimes it was sitting. Sometimes, as we saw Jesus flat on his face, gets laying there, he casts forth himself to the ground. There's different ways, but we see here Paul is saying, this is an important message. He says, this is so important, I'm getting on my knees to be able to pray for you. And we see different times in the Bible where Jews would see the extreme distress that he felt. This is a extreme humility. This is us recognizing who God is and saying, God, I need you. And it's a position that is one that has humility, but also it's a time of deep, intense concern. Ezra, it says he knelt when he confessed the sins of Israel. It says Daniel knelt when he learned that King Darius had signed into the law the prohibition on prayer. It says that Paul knelt with the elders at Ephesus as he's getting ready to depart. He does not know what's going to be coming of him. He does not think he's going to see these church leaders later on in Acts chapter 20. Solomon knelt before the Lord at the dedication of the temple. And you see here, I think it's Paul is saying, hey, look, don't be worried about me. I don't want you to quit. He says, I've already settled something. This is something you need to settle, is submission to God. It's an important message. Paul says in Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. He says, when these things are happening to me, when these things are falling out on me, these are my tribulations. I'm worried that you might hear them and you might faint and you might quit. He says, I'm getting on my knees right now and saying, I want these people to learn something. First thing, it's an important message because I show you that I'm getting on my knees to do this. And you see, it's important because you see verse number 15, the praise and the adoration that goes with this, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I think that's kind of neat. You can think about that and just ponder that family in heaven and earth. Some people think that only that God, only certain people are going to be in heaven. You know, sometimes there are certain Baptists, certain sect of Baptists believes that only they are going to be in heaven. Only the Baptists are going to be there. And I think if you come through the blood of Jesus Christ, and just because they're wrong on a few little issues or doctrines doesn't mean it's going to keep them out of heaven. I think there's going to be Old Testament people there. I think there's going to be people after the church is raptured out. I think that there are going to be people that get saved in the rapture time period. There's going to be plenty of people that are saved. And you see here, it says in heaven, it could be talking about that family being those created creatures and those angels. But here's the idea. He's saying that he is praying unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family... He is giving him respect. He is saying, I recognize who I'm praying to. One thing we need to get is, are we going to be saying that he's God? And are we going to get on our knees and say, this is important? You go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. It says that he is by the will of God. And he's saying, look, don't faint. This is God's will for me. And this is the idea here. I know sometimes we go through struggles and sometimes we go through hardships and sometimes it might seem like we were being pushed beyond our limits, but there's someone there. And Paul's saying, when you go through those things, I want you to imagine me. I want you to see me. I am on my knees praying for you that I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to faint. Submit to God. There's many times people think that submission to authority is agreeing with someone and you follow their decisions. That's not what submission to authority is at all. When you submit to authority, is whether you like decision or don't like the decision, you will go their way. And the same thing with walking with God is two people, they have to be agreed to be able to walk together. And that's what God's saying, hey, look, I'm going this way. This is the way I want you to go. And so many times people's like, well, I don't like that way, so I'm going to go over here. I'm going to do something different. True submission is saying, even sometimes when I don't like the way I'm supposed to go, I'm still going to go because I'm submitting myself to it. And that's what Paul's saying here. I want you to learn something here. And he's telling the church of Ephesus, I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to faint. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to become tiresome. I don't want you to become weary in your well-doing. He says, number one is because this is an important message. This is, I am submitted to God and this is God's will. Next thing I want you to see is a message of strength. And here's a key here. If we don't want to faint, we got to see where we get our strength from. Because I know there's a lot of people out there who have talents and have abilities and have been able to impress many people around them because of their abilities to be a man's man or a woman's woman or a self-made person. You know, this we depend upon God and upon everything. And it says here in verse number 16, he says, I want you to learn this, that he would grant you, who is he? He's talking about Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you according, and he doesn't say out of, he says according to the rich of his glory. He's saying according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Paul asked God that these Christians would get strength. He wanted them to live the Christian life from the inside out and not from the outside in. See, God is more interested in our inner man than our outer man. And it's easy for us to get concerned about the outer man. And so often we get concerned with our outer man. That's all we worry about. I did not write this joke. I thought it was kind of cute. Some of you ladies might not like it. But it said, a woman looked in front of a mirror and said, oh my, I am gray, wrinkled, fat, and out of shape. Her husband standing by, knowing better, not saying anything. The wife looks at him and says, can't you say anything to encourage me? He says, you have really good vision. Your eyesight is really good. So now here's the truth. That's when we worry about the outside. Inwardly is where we need to really be focused at. Once again, I know physically we should try to do our best to be in good shape so we can serve the Lord. And that's something that we all probably can work on. I know I can work on some. But we see here that God is saying this is where our strength comes from. When you rely on yourself, your strength is going to be weak. When you try to do it on your own, you're not going to accomplish things. You're going to keep on just going around like a dog chasing its tail, not really accomplishing anything. And when you catch it, you know, what are you going to do with it? That's what happens with our Christian lives. Hey, I got done what God wanted me to, what I've been working so hard to do. Okay, you've done it. What are you going to do with it? If it's not what God has designed you to do or God wants you to do, draw your source of strength from him. It says, verse 16, that he would grant you. And Paul is saying, I am praying for you. I want you to know this is important. It's a message that you need to hear. But I want you to understand that you need to get your strength from God. And God has all the strength he needs. It's according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his spirit in the inner man. The Holy Spirit of God is so, has so much ability, have the power and to be able to keep us from quitting. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 15 through 17, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. This is talking about that when we become tired and when we become weak, we need to remember that we can pull our strength from God and remember there's a better day coming. Paul desired them to have the strength that would keep them going in spite of the tribulations, the spirit of the internal aspect of men, the soul that which does not age, and the Holy Spirit of God is available to us. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13 says, if a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? And the answer is no. If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? No. And if ye shall ask him an egg, and he shall offer him a scorpion? No. But if ye then being evil, if you being fleshly and evil and have a sin nature, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He's saying, look, if you have the common sense enough to say when your child asks for a piece of bread and you say, here's a stone for, now, if you're smart enough, he says, then why aren't we asking for the Holy Spirit of God? It says that he will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Lord, I need strength. That's where we need to come to the spot in his life and say, I need you. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, you need to get this down. You're going to get tired. You're going to face tribulations. You're going to see hardship. And he says, I don't want you to faint. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to throw in the towel. There's plenty of people who do that. He says, but if you get your strength from God, then you're going to have the strength to keep on going. It's part of his riches. It's according to his riches. He has enough strength for us, but many times we rely on our own strength. As we rely on our own strength, we become weak. And many times we give up and we throw in the towel. We see that there's not people that used to be here and they're not in church at all. Why is that? They've thrown in the towel. They've given up. Why is that? Many times they could have been relying on their own strength. Next thing, another reason why you shouldn't quit is a message of strength, but it's also a message of love. Look what it says in verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You know, this is written to the church of Ephesus, and you say, well, why in the world would it, in the church of Ephesus, he write this? Well, sometimes in some churches, there are pretend believers, people who really never gotten it. But also, there are times when we dwell places, but we don't take up permanent residency. What do you mean? Well, if you go stay in a hotel, many times you'll go and you'll sleep in that hotel maybe for a day or a few days or a week, and you'll take advantage of the bed, and if it has a refrigerator maybe or a microwave and the bathroom, you'll dwell there for a little while. But this is what's talking about, that Jesus would dwell in a permanent residency, that he would take up and that he would be the one that's in charge of your heart. And many times in our own hearts, we try to be the one on the throne. And I think it's saying here that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Is that you believe that he should be ruler of your life. And when that happens, look what it says, that ye being rooted, now this rooted is this idea of established, firmly established. You think of a tree being rooted, and he keeps on going and said, grounded like a building with a strong foundation, but with what? In love. See, if you don't want to throw in the towel, and you don't want to give up, you got to remember that he gives us strength. But if we remember that he loves us, then we're not going to want to do that. I honestly believe the reason why my mom has not allowed my grandmother to go to a nursing home and is probably going to hurt her just as bad as it's going to hurt my grandmother is because she loves her. And because she loves her, she does not want to do anything that would hurt her. And when we see God in this way, and look what it says in verse number 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now listen, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If we get this and we get an understanding and we can get it in our Bibles and we can be rooted and grounded in faith, letting the Holy Spirit and letting God dwell in our hearts and a establishment in our heart, we can begin, it says, passive knowledge. Now, the Holy Spirit can teach us those things, but it's speaking of the greatness of the love of God and what God can do. If we realize the love of God and we see what God has done for us, if we comprehend His love, as even though it seems as far-reaching it is, as we begin to know Him, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to want to quit. Because of the love that He has for us, that love is going to constrain us to be able to just push forward and do more. Sometimes you feel like you throw in the towel and you sit there and say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need your strength. But all you need to do is just go back to Calvary and you see Christ dying for you and Christ saying it is finished. Christ saying, Father, forgive them. And you take a good view and a good picture of Calvary and you begin to try to think about the love He has for me and the love that He has for you. And you know what? That's going to make me want to keep on going. I'm going to be willing to keep on serve. Why is it that sometimes people, I've seen husbands take care of wives and wives take care of husbands when it would have been much easier to let somebody else take care of them? It's out of a love for them. And it's out of a desire. You know what? Because of their love for me, I want to keep on serving. And you know, sometimes it does seem like it's easy to quit. It's easy to give in. When we start looking at ourselves, when we start relying on our own strength, we start looking at the circumstances and we forget about the love of God. But it says that we are rooted and grounded in love and that may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And that brings us back to that passage in Romans chapter number 8. It talks about how much He loves us. That we know the love of Christ. And you see that next, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He says, look, you have the capability to having to be filled with the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God can control your life. So it's a message of importance because we see Him getting on His knees. He's saying, look, I know you understand. You see what's happening to me. You're worried about me. You're concerned for me. You see all the trials and all the tribulations. You see all the hardships I'm going through. But I don't want any of that to stop you. I don't want any of that to be your excuse why you're going to quit. I don't want that to cause you to pause for one second. He says, I'm getting on my knees and I'm asking God to show you how to get strength. And that strength is from the Holy Spirit. I'm asking God to show you and help you comprehend the love of God for you in your life. Because when you get a taste of the true love of God for you and for mankind, it will change you. And then it's you see a benediction here. It's about the message of power and the message of praise in God. It says in verses 20 and 21, it says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It's a message of power. And Paul is saying here, look, it's a message of strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a message of love. But then you get to this spot, it's a message of power that God's the one that's in control of all things. Why do people give up? Why do people say no? Why do they throw in the towel? Many times it's because they're in a situation that has caused them to become pressurized and it's just whatever's boiling out of them is what's really inside of them. And it's saying, I just can't do this anymore. Why can't you? And here it is. You know what? God can do all things. It's a lack of faith many times saying, Lord, I've gotten off this understanding that what it says here in verse number 20, it says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He says, don't give up. God was able to step in if He wanted to during my tribulations. He could do all things. He's able to do anything that we even ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. You know, it's the Holy Spirit of God that works in us. And it's something that we just get to this moment in the time. If we can understand that we can draw our strength from the Holy Spirit and that we can understand the love of God, but if we see the power of God and say, okay, you know what? God can take care of this. I know God can take care of this. I know God can heal me if he chose to. I know God can put that money in the bank account if he needed to. I know God can take care of that issue and take care of that person over there. I know God can fix this. I know God, you know, this, you're not going to give in. You're not going to quit if you remember that he's able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we even ask, but even a step farther, even more than we think. And it says in verse 21, once again, almost all prayers you see in the Bible, they're associated with praise. And to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It's amazing what God can do if we don't give up and we don't quit. Here's a little story. He says, there's a song entitled, "It Is No Secret What God Can Do." Stuart Hamlin was a popular singer, songwriter, actor, poet, and radio personality from the 1930s to the 1950s. He was first a hit on radio, but appeared in films with Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, and John Wayne, and wrote several chart-topping country songs. Some have even called him radio's first singing cowboy. Billy Graham came to the Los Angeles in 1949 for what became a historic evangelistic crusade. Graham's appearance on Hamlin's radio show was arranged as part of a publicity for the crusade. Hamlin was known for his hard living and drinking, but he warmly welcomed Graham as a guest. It was at that interview that Graham extended an invitation to Hamlin to attend the crusade, and he accepted. Hamlin later contacted Graham at his hotel and asked to talk. The result was that he surrendered his life to Christ. Hamlin became the first publicized conversion from that 1949 crusade. And it contributed to the decision to extend the event, and this crusade lasted for over 8 weeks. Hamlin later ran into John Wayne, who asked him about the rumor around town that he had changed his ways. Hamlin told Wayne that it is no secret what God had done for him, and that he could do it for Wayne also. Wayne said that sounded like a song and suggested that he write one. And the result of the song was, "It is no secret what God can do." Now, you come to this spot, and this is a concern that, you know, any pastor has for his church, any mother has for his son, any father has for his daughter. We don't want people to quit. What do you do? It's an important message. Is it an important enough message that we get on our knees before God? Is it important enough to look at those people that we love and say, "I'm praying for you daily that you won't give up and that you won't quit or that you'll start back." And then it's a message of strength that we rely on the Holy Spirit of God. There has been times in my life I did not know how I was going to make it through the next day. And I know I haven't been through some of the challenges that some of you have, but sometimes they're overwhelming. You just live through them and let God take you to the next day. There's also a message of love, that if we can begin to comprehend the love of Christ, then we're not going to want to give up. We're going to let that love of Christ constrain us. But also, as a message of power, when we realize that God is able to do any and all things. Let me encourage you tonight. Don't give up. Don't quit. I know it's Wednesday night. Someone told me the storm was probably coming between 9 and 10. So I shouldn't preach very long. So it's only 8 o'clock. We're getting ready to close. And I want you to realize it's worth serving God. I know it's not always easy. It's not always perfect. But if you remember that it's important, if you remember where to pull your strength from, if you remember about the love of God and that he is all powerful, he can do whatever it is you need done. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a